What's going on, guys? This is Alex Pardo, and you're listening to episode 216 of the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey guys, I got another masterclass for you here with an absolute stud, a buddy of mine, Mr. Randy Lawrence. And guys, this guy just has so much passion, so much value and wisdom to share on today's podcast. I can't wait for you to get into it. If you don't know who Randy is, serial entrepreneur. He's 24 years of experience as a business owner for successful real estate investment companies. He's actually known as the transformation expert. Has been featured on St. Petersburg Times, Tampa Tribune, CBN, NBC, CTN, and a variety of other media outlets. I think what's most impressive, guys, about Randy and what you're going to hear is, number one, you know, he's also a pastor and a founder of a lot of multiple life-changing industries that have just impacted tens of thousands of people throughout the years. And really what's most impressive is just where he's come from. You know, he's somebody who's experienced his own life transformation, you know, from just kind of going back, growing up in a broken home, his life as a drug dealer at a certain part of his life, to now becoming, you know, a successful serial entrepreneur, pastor, husband, a father. And, you know, he's worked alongside people like Jack Canfield and just several other, you know, well-respected individuals in the personal development industry. And, you know, so not just the real estate industry, somebody who just comes with the highest character, highest integrity. And on this particular episode, guys, we cover so much, from, you know, an 84 unit multifamily deal that he recently closed on, but so much more, what Randy calls the secret sauce to success. So guys, you know, let's, you know, tune in, try to be very, focused on what Randy has to share. I absolutely loved having him on the podcast. And he just dropped so much wisdom and shared so much value that I can't wait for you guys to listen to it. So let's get right into it. Randy, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Awesome, my brother. How's it going, man? Great to be with you.
I'm blessed, man. I'm so excited to have you on. I know we've been kind of going back and forth on this for the last month or so. And dude, you are somebody that I have known about for years. And obviously we travel in a lot of the same circles. And you know, when I joined Collective Genius about 6 months ago, you're kind of one of those people that I had pegged. Like, you have such a positive reputation in the industry. And, you know, I know you're a man of faith, and I know you're highly successful, obviously. And you're one of those guys, I don't know if you know this, that I'm like, I got to connect with Randy. I want to build a relationship with this guy. It seems like we have a lot in common. And from the moment I met you, man, you're just so genuine, so sincere. And so I'm excited to have you on, brother.
Oh, man. Well, praise the Lord, brother. I appreciate that. And likewise, the same, man. Your reputation and just your heart to serve others had definitely preceded our in-person meeting. And so I feel the same way. So isn't that kind of neat how that works,
right? Yeah, man. I think that's it might sound cliche, but that's God operating, you know, and sure, just connecting the right people. So
yeah, well, and you know, I look at that even too, and you operate in that principle of giving, and it always comes back in the form of receiving, man. It's like you can't out-sow and out-give God. And that's something I think a lot of people struggle with, and I know I struggled with it in the early phases, because a lot of times you're so self-focused about what you need to get for you and your family, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, Randy? Because guys, one of the things we're going to talk about today is Randy's got a very, very unique background and story. And, you know, he's somebody that he got started in this business in multifamily right out of the gate. I think a lot of people tend to get started in single family, typically wholesaling, just because, you know, barriers to entry are pretty low. It's easier. A lot of people just kind of get their feet wet that way. Randy went at it a little different. He started with multifamily. Then he, you know, built out a single family business, very successful. And now these days he's focused more back on the multifamily side, but I believe he also has a single family business that's running. But before we get into that, Randy, let's, if you don't mind, brother, let's talk a little bit more about, like, you just said something that really resonated with me, as you said, you can't outgive God.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people naturally, you know, they approach this business like, you know, I want to make as much money as I could possibly make. And that there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly fine. But some people, I think the people that lead first with wanting to give and contribute, the money kind of falls into place. And again, I know that sounds very, it's easier said than done. Is that a mindset shift? You know,
for sure. Well, so, just even as you say that, like, so people that are listening, it's like, yeah, that, whatever, that's not realistic, because, you know, we're so conditioned to have to get for ourselves. And again, like, you know, in this country, kind of cultural mindset, look out for who? Number one.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just part of it. And especially in the real estate business, whether you're wholesaling or rehab flipping, you know, you tend to want to put the least amount of money into the deal and get the most money out of the deal. Uh-huh. And I remember specifically for me, probably it was in, you know, and I had that kind of mindset, and it was probably in like 2008-ish, you know, right there where the crash was going on. I remember I had a house, a little 3-2 house that we'd finished rehabbing and to go to sell it. And, you know, the roof was probably questionable, right? It's like, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, you need 3 years to get insurance, and the roofer signed off on it as it's got 3 years. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you could and probably should replace it if it's going to be a first time home buyer and the roof, you know, takes a crap in 2 years. You know what I mean? Yep. And those are variables a little bit unknown, but again, that's $5,000. And so I'm like, nah, just let's get it done, sell the house, you know? And it turned out that like two people were interested in the home right out of the gate, but the roof was an issue and the deals fell apart with them. And then finally, like probably 3 months into it now, we get it sold for less than I'd hoped for, probably about $5,000 less. And then on inspection, their home inspector said the roof was shot, not 3 years, but shot. And so to do the deal, we got to replace the roof. So we replaced the roof just because at this point we got to get it done. Mm-hmm. So it was a very salient moment. Like, had I followed the right principle in the beginning, I would have come out ahead, because I went $10,000 worse off than had I started, you know, because of my carrying cost for 3 months and then $5,000 less on the contract and then still paying the $5,000 for the roof.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was a very boom, like kind of aha moment from God for me. It's like, you know what? It really is true. I need to just do better for other people, even if it means that I appear to have less.
Yeah.
And so that, and that's key, is the appearance. Cause it's, again, we think if I give, I'm going to have less, but what happens is then I start receiving more. And so like, then, you know, deals can start moving faster. You start getting more deals coming to you, start selling them more quickly. And so maybe it is just even from an economic deal, you're making a little less, but then the volume creates more.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's a struggle. I mean, even for tithing, like, you know, we've, ever since I put my faith in the Lord in 97, we've tithed off of our fullness of business and income and all like that. And at first that was a struggle, right? Like, you know, if I give 10%, and again, you don't have to give it to church or whatever, you could give it to charity, but like, you know, we sow to our local church and then give beyond that to other institutions as well. Mm-hmm. But that's a struggle, because like, if I give 10% away, then I've only got 90%.
Yeah.
But there really is, whether you want to label it the universe or, you know, I would say God, He brings that back. So now that 90% actually becomes more than the 100%.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was just going to say it's something that like I've truthfully experienced that, for the last 20 years now and 21 years. And so, you know, that's something that if you're listening and it's like, you know, hey, I want to wholesale this deal or I want to flip this deal and I want to either push the price to the max or cut the corners on that's not going to be the best approach to getting massive success.
Yeah. Especially long-term. And there's a couple of things that really jump out at me here that I kind of want to just piggyback. And I'm so glad that, Randy, that you're taking the conversation in this direction, because I think it's just so, so important and critical for people to really just grasp and understand and then to start to live that way is number one. For me, what's always kind of done me right is my gut. And it's not my gut. I feel like it's God tapping me on the shoulder. So when you feel like you need to do right by someone or you should do right by someone, is a better way to say it. When you kind of have that sense, follow your gut, like listen to that voice in your head. Don't cut those corners. And that's a powerful example that you shared about the roof. My belief is that was probably God tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, you know, do this for the first time home buyers. And sometimes we need to, like, man, we all make mistakes. We're human. I make them on a daily basis. I screw up so often, you know, and you try to learn and become better. And sometimes we just kind of have to have those bumps and bruises to understand and learn the error of your ways. Right.
For sure. I would say it's not even a one and done thing. It's just a continuous process and awareness because of our humanity. You know what I mean? Given over to ourselves, we're focused on ourselves. Right. And so, you know, and that's where, again, for me, it's like, you know, that continuous awareness, I keep to think about that because then again, like another deal comes up and it's like, you know, hey, do we give the person 97,000 or 90, you know, four? And it's like, they really need 97. And it's like, okay, I'm going to make money at either one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, could we push them down and get the 90, you know, the 93? Probably so. But it's like, just, you know, this old lady needs 97. Let's give it to her. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, but you know, the thing that's interesting out of that, cause we do a ton of mail as well too, on our single family side as I'm sure many listeners do, and you know, ringless voicemail and all the good stuff. But, that I would say there's many instances where we're the only person that they contact. And I would say that the result of that is because our intention is to really help the person, you know, because when we really set that intention back in 2008 and 2009, like, we're going to really set out to try to help people, not just make as much money as we can.
Yeah.
And that really exploded things in a positive way. And so even now, as we send out mail and other people like, man, my results suck, our results are great.
Yeah.
And I would say it's because we're not looking to flim flam scam the person. We're looking to try to really give them the most that we can. Now, don't misread what I'm saying. We still got to give them a price that is going to maximize our return and be worth the risk and all those variables that you teach and everybody should operate by.
Of course, right.
But at the same time, in that example, if I can beat somebody down to 94 or it's 97, they really need the 97 and we're still making 25, 30 grand, what's the difference, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and so we're going to give them the 97. And I believe that as a result of that, that's why people are like, you know, and they say this to my sales guy, you know what, I had all these cards or blah, 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 whatever. And I just felt like you were the right one to call.
Oh,
isn't that wild?
Yeah. Right? It comes around. It really does.
Oh, for sure. You know, and so, like, you know, I think that it just, again, it's a battle that we face to try to look at that. But again, like, here you are testifying to it. Here I am testifying to it. So hopefully, out of the thousands of people listening, you know, hundreds will just say, you know what? Hey, man, screw it. I'm going to go ahead and throw my faith in the arena and just try it that way.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, if you throw your hat in the arena and try it that way and lead, like what you said, with that purpose of, I want to give or help the other person, and you consistently do that for a period of time, I mean, don't try it once. It didn't work. It's like, you know, you will see the results will come.
That's right. That's right. And I think, Randy, the other thing I want to testify here before we kind of start talking about, you know, your story and the multifamily stuff is, I'm so glad you mentioned tithing. I just had, and I won't mention his name, but another, you know, guy that's a part of our mastermind. I just had lunch with him last night in South Beach, yesterday in South Beach. And we were talking about tithing and he was sharing with me, hey, you know, I'm kind of struggling with, you know, where do I send this money? I know I should tithe, but you know, the church doesn't really need it. And, you know, where do I send it? And I was sharing with him that, you know, I started religiously, no pun intended, tithing about 6 years ago. And there's been periods where I have the money earmarked. I have the 10% earmarked to send it to the church and I hold on to it for whatever reason. Maybe I don't get around to it. I'm lazy or I don't know. Things are maybe tight financially. I hold on to it. And in those instances, things never just operate as smooth. Like challenges continue to come up. And then when I go ahead and release that money, because it's my mindset is it's not mine. That's God's money. I'm a steward of that money.
Absolutely.
When I give it back, right, man, I'm telling you, this might sound like BS, but usually within a day or two, something incredible happens, whether it's a phenomenal deal or whether it's just a blessing that came out of nowhere. And I can testify to this on at least three or four different occasions. This has happened in the last handful of years, that it got to the point that, like, I think 2-3 years ago, I was like, man, it's clockwork. I'm tithing 10% every month of what comes in, 10%, 10%. And it's like, I live by it now, you know?
For sure. That's awesome, man. And I would echo that to the folks that are listening as well. It's like, you know, I think from a biblical model of things, that 10%, God's intended it to go to the place of spiritual nourishment, which should be the church or synagogue that you're a part of. Mm-hmm. And really it says, you know, that so that there may be food or provisions in his house. So that helps to provide for all that goes on there. And it's really like God doesn't need us to do it, but by doing that, it's the vehicle with which there is a provision for the building to be there, the pastors or priests or whatever to be there and to impact and communicate in the programs within the community. All that's funded through that. But then on the spiritual side, it begins to then release to us those blessings, because then that promise says that he will open the windows of heaven and shower out a blessing so much so it can't be contained. And I would say that's the same thing. Like, you know, and so we got into that same thing. It's like, boom, I only get paid once a month, you know, just by, again, organizational structure. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So it's like, bam, the first of the month, boom, that's my wife writes that check like clockwork, and we submit it and give it. I still do a check just because I like the feel of it, man. You know
what I mean? Right. I do the same thing.
And I pray over it as I'm giving it. It's the seed that I'm putting into the kingdom of God, you know, and then, And it really does release supernatural things. I mean, that's no doubt about it, man. I had a good friend of mine when I first started off on this journey 20 years ago. He was a high-level electrophysiologist, cardiologist. I mean, you're talking a top half percenter in the country, you know, big-time earner. And he's telling me this life was given to me by Christ. You know, beautiful family, incredible job, super wealth, you know, teaching around the country. And he's like, these are the principles that you got to follow if you want to live a successful and abundant life, you know? And so that really stuck with me, because here I was like a, you know, partying, drinking, smoking, crazy stockbroker, scumbag kind of guy, you know, and, you know, just found faith in Christ and moving forward. And here this guy is at this level reaching out to help me. And he's sharing these principles of like a successful life. And so that really kind of hit home, and I started, you know, following the things he showed me. And then, of course, then following the things I discovered in my own pursuit through the Bible and through the Lord.
Yeah. So before we keep going, the last thing I want to add on this topic, I really want to encourage everybody listening now. There's three resources I'd like you guys to plug into, especially if this is an area that you want to do more digging. Maybe it's something in your gut, or maybe it's that voice in your head. There's two books I want to recommend. And then I want to recommend, you know, Randy's podcast, The Real Estate Preacher. But the two books that really have helped me in this area, this part of my life, is The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. Phenomenal, phenomenal book. And The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. Those two books will really maybe change your mindset or perspective on tithing, giving, etc. So, and then like awesome. I said, you know, I will include it in the show notes. Randy also has an awesome podcast called The Real Estate Preacher, that, you know, just listening to Randy over the course of the last 10, 15 minutes, you can get a lot more of that over at his podcast. So,
yeah, awesome, man. Well, that's fantastic, brother. You're doing a great job with just giving people the truth, and it's exciting to be a part of it, man.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Well, hey, man, I wanna talk now about the multifamily. Can you talk a little bit about just your story? I know it's unique from the standpoint that you got into multifamily, whereas a lot of people start with single family. Then you kind of, you know, you went back to single family, and now you have the single family business kind of built out, but it seems like you're spending more of your time and energy on the multifamily stuff. I know you closed an 84 unit deal last year that I also love to get into. So
for sure.
Yeah. Talk to us about kind of how you got started and all that.
So when I was a stockbroker and money manager previously, and then back in 2003, you know, I started focusing on real estate. Really, I think, you know, without question, I had a desire in my heart for it. And God just was kind of bringing those things to bear to show me that's going to be the direction that's the right fit for me. And so, in fact, I mean, funny enough, right? One of the guys at church I had connected together with and knew somewhat so from school, his dad and him, they'd been significantly involved in real estate. And as we connected together, they'd been involved in apartments. And so, you know, they had started off with, you know, his dad buying duplexes in 20 units, 30 units, 40 units, that kind of thing, built it out, then bought, you know, 100 unit plus, 300 unit plus apartments and, you know, built that up to, you know, several thousand units. And then so that kind of became a framework of the cash flow and the focus and all like that. And so the very first place I bought was a 7-unit apartment complex. I mean, praise God, the place looked like it was going to fall down. But I was able to buy it. And really, this was kind of a divine thing. God had just showed me somebody was going to give me real estate, which is kind of crazy. So I just pursued that journey of learning everything I could. You know, back then there wasn't the podcast and all that. I think I got like no money down Carlton Sheets course off of eBay used.
That's how I got started.
Yeah. And just learned some of the basics, but then boom, felt that release in my spirit to go on. Truly ended up connecting with a guy. There was an ad in the paper, you know, 7-unit complex, 95,000. I called him up. He's like, oh man, I just signed a contract with this Chinese couple for 145 grand. He said, I'll let you know if something happens. Like, bam, a week later, the deal fell through. He's like, look, if you still want it, I'll sell it to you. And so we met together. He ended up signing it over to me. And I met with the lender, which was a local hard money lender. And, you know, he agreed, okay, this guy can just take it over. So literally that kind of thing that God showed me, somebody who's going to, he gave me the 7-unit complex.
Yeah.
And then I took and refinanced it with a local bank for about 150 grand, pulled the 50 grand out to start rehabbing it. And then that was kind of boom, off to the races. And then from there, bought other small multifamilies, 3-unit, 4-unit kind of thing. And then at the time, you know, I'm here in the Tampa Bay area, and that was 2003 into 2004. It was super white hot. You know what I mean? Like just crazy off the chain, real estate markets on fire. So it was like, you know, almost like what it is now, like ultra competitive, nothing available kind of thing, you know, and I didn't really have all the resources, you know, that I have now and the mentorship and just, you know, the mailing and the, just all of the stuff that you and I do and a lot of the other top-notch people do and the podcast teach. And so from that, I struggled to get more and more multifamily deals. And so we looked at probably like in 05-ish, almost 06, looking at rehabbing houses because, again, I knew a bunch of guys that were making a ton of money in that, you know. And so then probably 06, we shifted over because I had not yet had enough income coming in through the rentals to switch out from the stockbroker deal.
Okay.
You know, and so in 06, you know, we were moving out to start a church and then also needing that income sustenance. And so we started flipping houses and, you know, then of course the market crashed in 08 and, you know, we probably then made that shift in 08 to a huge short sale company, did tons of short sales and all like that. And then really got back probably rehabbing selectively and then more heavily in 2013, 14. And, you know, really kind of rebuilt out the company on the rehab side and all like that. And then really kind of reignited my thoughts and focus back to the multifamily, but on a larger scale, you know, the 75 to 350 unit type places. About a year and a half ago. And so really kind of redug into that, refocused into that, you know, because again, where focus goes, energy flows.
Sure.
And, you know, I think, you know, we just got, there's an enamorment with the rehabbing and the single family business, you know, one, the money that can be made in it, but also two, you know, the transformative action. I like that, you know, seeing a total piece of crap and then seeing it go from that to something fantastic. There's, you know, something enjoyable about that as well.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So let's kind of address and talk to the people that are listening that they have a real estate business. They might be a wholesaler. They might be a fix and flip investor, and they know they need to generate more cash flow. They need to build more wealth. I mean, I think wholesale fix and flipping is fantastic. Built a great life out of it, but it's a transactional business.
For right? sure.
You know, you got to have a team and systems and you can scale it and it's phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. But it's, where's the cash flow coming from? You know, there's a saying, you're only as good as your last deal or your next deal, whatever it is.
For sure, man.
So can you talk a little bit? Because it seems like, you successfully built out the single fam business. And now the last year and a half or so, you're focused more on the multifamily. You're obviously successful. You just closed that, that 84 unit deal. I think it was back, late last year. And then now you got some other irons in the fire.
Yep.
Can you talk about, the people that they still need the income, they still need the revenue that they're transactional business generates. How can they continue to do that, put food on the table, take care of themselves, their team, but also start to, I don't want to say pivot or transition totally into multifamily mm-hmm. because it's a separate business, but how do they, I guess, get started and, eventually get to a point where they can see the fruits of that while still not try to run multiple different companies at the same time. I don't know if that makes sense. But.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think it starts with, you've got to be true to yourself in what you want to do and who you are. So oftentimes we people, myself, can get the shiny object syndrome that, oh man, this guy's doing this and it's so awesome or sexy and this is this. And, and so what I mean by that is on the multifamily, the larger apartment complex side, it's definitely super, hot right now. We're probably in the fourth quarter of the game where everybody's interested in it and it's really very sexy. Mm-hmm. But I think that, when I really was making that dive probably a year and a half ago, one of a good buddies, one of the top guys there in CG, he's like, dude, what are you doing that for, man? Why don't you just buy a ton of houses? Mm-hmm. You've already got this thing put together. And the truth of the matter is we've had tons of rental houses, pre-crash, probably 44, 45 doors. And then even now, a handful, 10 or something like that. And I don't really want to do that. You know what I mean? It's just not who I am, more as I am focused as a business development. Because the thing is with the multifamily, it really is a separate business. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a separate learning curve. It's a separate model. It's a separate evaluation. It's a different risk structure. It's a different timeline, But for me, that was who I am. You know what I mean? It was congruent. And so that's where I go back to the person that's saying, hey, I want to start building cash flow. I think the first point, you've got to find who you are and what's the right fit for you. And because you and I both know there's guys in our group that have 50, 100, 150 rentals that are houses that, has worked out to be a great cash flow scenario for them. Mm-hmm. Now, and again, it also is dependent on where you're at, right? So where you're at and or where I'm at, there's not a super abundance of deals where you're going to buy houses for 50 grand, put 15 into it, and then rent for 1,000. You know what I mean? It's just, right. It's not going to be that way here. And there's other areas, maybe in the Midwest or different areas, that is the case. And so I think, that's part of it. And, so for the person that's listening, it's like, okay, they recognize, hey, I want to start building cash flow. The first question is well, what's the best fit for me? And then if they determine hey, I think it is, I want to pursue this alternate business, then you've got to be willing and able to find the path to be able to do both. Mm-hmm. Because, I don't believe it is that you're going to jump into the multifamily arena. And if you're making, let's say 100 grand or 150 grand or even more than that, wholesaling 250, 300,000, whatever your numbers are, it's not going to be instantaneously replaced by switching to multifamily.
That's right. So yeah, it's a process.
It's a process for sure, And so I think that that's where you've got to be able to map that out and, say, okay, here's how I'm going to go about this approach. And that's what we've done. It's a strategic development for us. And, you know, we may have, because of the number of employees we have and stuff like that and resources, that gives me a little bit more advantage than maybe the solopreneur guy. Mm-hmm. But it's not meaning that it's not possible, right? If you're a solopreneur and you're a solo dude, you know, flipping houses or a solo dude wholesaling, it still can be done. It's just going to require more effort on your part.
That's right. That's right. So what I'm hearing, Randy, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, it's there's not a right or wrong. Like, first start with gaining some clarity. What is it you want, right?
Absolutely.
I'm big on having a vision for your life first and then designing a business that supports that vision, because, you know, my vision might not be yours and vice versa. And there's no right or wrong. It's just, what is it that you ultimately want? Once you get clear on that, now you can start to, like you said, be strategic and map out a plan and hopefully have the right people in your life, whether it's coaches, mentors, mastermind Absolutely. Groups that can then assist you in that process.
For sure. It's so critical, man. I mean, there's no doubt, like, that we have a very strategic focus. And so, like, just probably 2-3 weeks ago, I had somebody offer me up, like, I don't know, $600,000 house needs rehab and that it's worth, you know, $950 or something, you know, big payday deal. I'm like, yeah, I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
What, are you crazy? No, it's like, it just doesn't fit into my model, because now I've got to focus my energy on that because of the luxury attention that's necessary there versus the little, you know, 150, 250 houses that are in our system that are all, you know, we have a, you know, project manager, and I don't have to do anything with those other than manage the process mm-hmm. of my people. And so, like, that's part of that point. That deal, though it was an attractive deal, doesn't fit into the vision of where I'm going, you know, because my energies and times, I'm focused on the multifamily projects. Like, I've got 4 or 5 deals that I'm looking at right now. And so I'm taking time away from the fulfillment of that vision to focus on that $650,000 house. It doesn't fit.
Yep.
And so that's where I think that you're right on, that people got to nail down what they want out of life and then stick to it, man. I'm like the tortoise in the hare, bro. I'm the tortoise, man. Like, I'm going to win the race, but it ain't sexy.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't care. Sexy, dude, it's not sexy busting your ass and being in the office and doing the stuff that other people are unwilling to do. That's not sexy. It's the funniest thing is, like, dude, I posted pictures of me checking out this Ferrari 458.
And I saw it.
Lit up, like, lit up on Facebook, right? And, you know, and I drive a 911 right now, and it's a fantastic car. But you know what's funny is, as anything, like, I posted a video like 3 days before that on like what it takes to be successful. And it's like crickets, dude. 3 people liked it, right? Because it's hard, right? Yeah. And, you know, so, but then I'm showing the result of success of this Ferrari I'm test driving, and it's like off the chain. Everybody loves it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think for sure where you're listening at right now, you've got to design the life you want. And so few people do it. They just grab, oh, I heard about this, heard about that. And then you become scattered and it doesn't yield the fruit of success that you're hoping for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. I think this is really, really just going to give people some perspective, because, you know, you mentioned the shiny object syndrome, and it's so difficult, especially in our group. You know, you get around all these highly successful people, and people are crushing it, doing this and doing that. And then you think to yourself, man, I can do that. And then you want to do this. And then when you don't have that vision, that's when you start chasing the dollars and you start chasing this and that. I think it's when you're clear on what you want, why you want it. Now you allow that to determine what you say yes and what you say no to. And you should be saying no more often than you're saying yes.
Absolutely, bro. I mean, this is so much more important than the mechanics of me telling you how to get a multifamily property right now. I'm telling you this, swear to God, that's the truth. And it's like, I mean, like, the evidence of that, even to, like, the house I live on the water on the beach, like, my wife and I, that was part of an envisionment of the life that we wanted and where we were going. We used to jog from her in-laws on the other side of the bridge up to the bridge, look out on the water, and I would see my house, right?
Wow.
And like, when I was driving a Chrysler Sebring, I'm pulling up at the light and I'm in my Mercedes SL500 or my Porsche 911. And if you looked over at me, I'm in a Chrysler Sebring. Mm-hmm. But in my mind and in my emotions and my feeling and in the vision of where I'm going, I'm in that Porsche 911. And so, and the truth of the matter is, the same thing with the business. Like I'm focused on this successful business of helping people, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to look to the right or the left. And that's what's yielded the success. And so that's why I say that's not sexy, because it forces you, just like you said, to say no to things that do look sexy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But those sexy things lead you down a detour oftentimes away from where you really wanted to go. And so, and that's actually, it's harder to map out that plan. It's a more mental, difficult strategy to adhere to that on a daily, weekly basis. It's easier to let your mind flutter from here to there and be influenced by all the people around you and the success that this guy's having or that guy's having.
Right, right.
You know, so without question, man.
I love this, man. This is, I could talk about this stuff forever.
Oh, for sure, man, dude. Yeah. That's like the secret sauce, bro. That's it.
You know what kind of scares me, Randy? And you know, the type of, I'm hoping that obviously whoever's listening, like, thank you for, because like you said, this is the secret sauce. This is, but so many people, they want to hear, hey, what direct mail piece is crushing, or what strategy allowed me to make an extra six figures? Like, that's the stuff that gets the podcast downloads. Yeah. This is the stuff that leads to like fulfillment, happiness, success, contribution, all that stuff, depending on whatever it is that you want, like just applying these principles.
For sure. Well, you know, it's like funny though, but so like even there in the mailing, like when we first started mailing, I set aside 60 grand and I'm like, I'm going to mail this stuff come Hades or high water, that I'm spending every penny of the 60 grand. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if I get nothing back. And that's part of a mental determination of where I know I'm going. The first month we made back like 150, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And so we never turned back from that. But it's that, you know, knowing where I'm going and then committing to it no matter what.
Yeah. Burning the ships.
Yeah, exactly, man. And, you know, and so, and again, now it come back full circle around the multifamily. It's like, I made a decision, wrestled and prayed and talked about it with my wife. I remember us sitting on the deck looking out over the water, and it's like, you know what? This is the direction I'm going. I know that it's part of what I want and part of where we're going, and come Hades or high water, I'm going this way.
Right.
And that's what it really takes if you're going to yield success, because you're going to get hit with so many obstacles that weed people out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not determined and have a vision of where you're going and why you're going there, the difficulties are going to burn you out. That's, and again, like even going back to like the mailing dudes that like, oh, I tried mail and it didn't work. It's like, yeah, because you tried, you didn't do it.
Bingo.
You know, and it's like, you know, that's the difference. I mean,
you gotta commit and go. That's it. Like, don't look back, commit and go.
That's why, I mean, like in an honest way, 80%, it's the Pareto principle, almost the Pardo principle, right? But the Pareto principle, you know, it's the 80-20. 20% are going to have 80% of the results, because that 20% is willing to do what the 80% are not willing to do.
Yeah.
And so you've got to make, I teach this to my team. It's like, you've got to make a decision. Are you going to be in the 20% or are you going to be in the 80%?
Hmm.
And you know, unfortunately, that most people fall into the 80%. That's why it's, I mean, it's a statistical reality.
Yeah.
And so for you who are listening, you've got to make a decision. Look, I'm going to be in the 20%. I'm going to take this seriously, begin to develop a vision for where I want to go. If I want to start developing cash flow, I'm going to determine, is it going to be single family homes or multifamily homes? What's the better fit for me?
Yeah.
And then once that fit, it becomes congruent, then I'm going to start mapping out the plan, the strategy, and I'm going to stick with it and go with it until I see the fruitfulness of it and the vision becomes real. And then I'm going to develop the next vision.
That's right. I love this, man. And by the way, you don't even know this, but this is so timely, because I find myself at that point right now where, you know, evaluating building a single family rental portfolio, looking at multifamily, or figuring out, you know, maybe I've come to the conclusion I don't want to be a multifamily operator right now. However, through relationships, through my ability to raise capital, maybe I can add value to other operators like you, Randy.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, and you know, just carve out pieces of deals by bringing your unique ability to the table. Like, so that's, it's so interesting that we've kind of gone down this road.
Sure.
I'm really, really hoping that this just strikes a chord with people and it allows them to, it hits them between the eyes. Like, I got to commit, I got to make a decision, and then I got to go. But give yourself some freedom, I think, in my opinion, to kind of go through that process, pray on it.
Yeah.
Whatever process you need to, because there isn't a right or wrong. It's just what's right for you.
Absolutely, man. And it's an evolving process. You know what I mean? Because we should be beings in a process of evolution, of becoming a better human being, a better, you know, Christ follower, better husband, better entrepreneur, better operator, whatever those things may be. And we all have different gifts, talents, and abilities. So, and that's part of it. Like, and again, that's such a salient moment for you to say, hey, you know what? Right now where I'm at, I don't necessarily want to be a multifamily operator. That's a great insight to then say, but you know what? I've got these other resources, talents, and abilities that I can use in that space to work together with somebody like me. Mm-hmm. And then also the other areas that you may pursue, say with the single family or whatever those things may be that are congruent with where you're at right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's so key to figuring out where you are and what's best for you. And that's, you know, that's tough though, man. Most people don't do it. We're copycats. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's okay to copy, but copy what fits for who you are. I mean, that's like, and again, like the dude that's a good friend that, you know, they're blowing out, you know, they were doing 200 houses a year. And he's like, dude, he's busting my balls about going into multifamily. Right. And so now a lot of people would cave in on that, right? Yeah, now I guess you're right. You know, it's easier to go to this and do this. But I was determined about who I am, and I know what I want to do because I've been through this process.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that, and that's what enabled me from the moment I made that decision to probably within, you know, 6 months, bam, we got an 84 unit deal under contract, moved it forward, you know, did the due diligence, got it closed. I mean, tons of work, man, buttloads of work to get all that stuff done. But then boom, now it's, you know, moving forward into the phase of the vision that we had for the property, and it's moving forward in a positive way. And, you know, we've been hunting for the next ones and, you know, getting that work done. But it's only because of knowing where I'm going.
That's right. You were intentional about it. You set a plan, you took action, and as a result, the 84 unit came to fruition.
Boom. Yeah. And there's people out there, really, quite frankly, they're still looking 2 years in now, 3 years in, mm-hmm. right? I mean, because it's been more wishy-washy than it's been focused and determined action that you're taking on a daily, weekly basis.
There you go. Well, Randy, man, I kind of tease people with it. I don't want to leave them hanging here. Maybe we can spend 5 to 7 minutes and wrap up the show on that note. Let's talk about this 84 unit and kind of do like a little mini case study here. Just kind of walk us through, like, man, how you found this thing, how you went through the underwriting process, ultimately got it funded, closed, and where it's at today?
Yeah. So I think, you know, for the reality of where we're at currently in the market cycle, the most transactions with larger multifamily move through brokers. And again, uh-huh. you're dealing with a more sophisticated seller. Anybody that owns 75 to 300 unit complex, they are a more sophisticated person. They're business people like myself. You know, and so the more maximization for them in selling a property is going to come through a broker. So the majority of transactions go through a broker. And so your fastest way to that path is to connect and network with brokers. You know, once you understand the lingo and the operations, you know, having mentorship and understanding of that is really super key. But now you can begin, just like I did, connecting and networking with brokers when you've determined the area you're going to focus on. Because again, that's part of it. You've got to understand the economics. You know, what are the cost structures? What are the cap rates? What are the rent potentials? What are the, you know, demographics? And then also, what are the economic drivers for that area?
Yeah.
But then once you've identified that and you see, hey, this is a good region or state or locality, now you can start to connect with those brokers. Like for us, you know, hey, I'm Randy Lawrence with Prosperity Capital Partners, and, you know, this is what we're looking for. You know, now you become to them a person that's a player, somebody that's going to perform, somebody that they'll interact with. And again, that's part of having people skills and who you are, you know. I mean, for me, I'm a people person in that respect and can connect with people. And so that served us well to begin that networking. And then through that network, it developed with those relationships. The first two or three deals that we looked at didn't come together. And then, boom, connected together with another guy that that led us to this property. And so then, and then even too, we were down to the wire and on the LOI, and there was another group that was you know, interested in the property. And the seller, it was going to go with us. And then at the last moment, somebody as part of the brokerage reached out to them and said, hey, we've dealt with this other people in Atlanta. You know, they're good to go. And so he said, I'm going to go with them. I was like, oh my God, you got to be freaking kidding me. And then a week later, the other buyer had gone like crazy asking for all this crazy crap. And so they're like, dude, we're not going to deal with this stuff. And the guy actually went cussing in an email, which is just highly unprofessional. You don't operate when you're operating in that level. You don't operate that way. You may do that on some ghetto wholesale deal, but right. And even too, I would say you probably shouldn't do it there.
Right.
Yeah. But the, you know, so what that did is it opened the door where the seller came back and said, hey, if you're still interested, we talk. And then, so we were actually able to get it for a few bucks cheaper and, you know, boom, we bought it for just under, you know, 2.8 million. Okay. And then from there, you know, having the connections for the financing, just because with that, you know, your first class financing is going to be through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Mm-hmm. And in order to get a loan through them, you've got to have the Fannie Freddie card, meaning you've already done deals and got deals financed through them. So we were able to connect together with other folks who had had that experience and bring them on board to get the loan so that we could get, you know, that best rating. And again, you can get it through your local bank, but not as good of terms as what you get in terms of the Fannie Freddie underwriting.
That's right. And I think one of those things, and I don't speak from experience because I haven't closed a large multifamily deal, but you know, from just kind of being educated and talking to people like you, Randy, this is a team sport. Business is a team sport, but multifamily, like, don't try to attack it and approach it alone. Like, you need partners. You need some. You might need a sponsor, somebody that has the balance sheet or somebody that has the connections. And don't worry so much about, you know, your percentage in the deal. Yeah, if you're going to partner with someone, like, if you're just getting started, just get in the game, get the experience, because once you get a few of these under your belt, I mean, Randy, you could speak to it better than I can. Things open up for you from there.
100%, man. I mean, that's the truth, because like, even to get that loan, you've got to have the net worth equal to the $3 million to be able to get the loan. I mean, so you're, you know, if you're wholesaling making 300 grand and, you know, your net worth is 500, you ain't going to get the loan. I mean, you're not going to get the deal. It's not going to happen. And so you've got to be willing to approach it from a team perspective. And then just like you said, you know, don't be so focused on how much you get or this. I mean, because again, part of that is too, we had to come to the table with probably, you know, 700 and some thousand dollars. So again, you may not have that money. So there's a lot of components that go into it where, you know, once you get in the game, just like Alex, like you said, it's so true, because like, I've got one deal now that we're verbally committed to for a 98 unit. I just had gotten an email from a guy that was a referral from this guy here that a deal fell out on 88 units. And he's like, the first person he reached out to was who? Me. Because he's like, in his network, he's like, well, who's a performer? Yeah. Let me talk to Randy. And so, bam, you know, we're in the process of talking on that today on that 88 unit deal. And so that's what happens. And then, you know, but you've got to be willing to take that step. And so I think, you know, the first thing is like, if you know, hey, I'm going to go this direction, you've got to learn what those mechanics are. And, you know, I think it is important to have somebody that can be a help to you. And so to be able to connect together and learn from them and then be willing to partner with other people, because that's going to be the key to getting into this arena.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. So this one that you closed, I think this was back in November of last year, right?
Yep. We closed so you, it in November.
You bought it for 2.8. So you had to raise what, about 2.1 to get into the deal?
No. So because again, using the Fannie financing,
raised 700, I'm guessing.
Yeah. We raised 700,000. That was through, myself, and just a few other people.
Yep.
And then we got the long-term financing. We had a rehab budget of about 250,000. And so, we're about 6 months into the process, things are cruising along, the exteriors, that's kind of the deal. You go in immediately and execute the exterior plan, paving, pressure washing, painting, landscaping, amenities, any of those things that you're doing, because what that does is it immediately shows the community and the residents that you're spending money, you're improving the quality of the complex. And then from there also, we begin interior renovations on the various units. Now, this project was, probably 96% occupied. So you don't just go in and throw everybody out. Mm-hmm. We go in and start selectively the people that are bad tenants that are not, paying well or just, problematic individuals. You selectively start non-renewing them and then renovating those units, bringing up the quality to a better quality. So now you've got the exterior quality improving. It's a, we added, like in that particular location, we added a business center so that now they've got computer access and all like that, and package receiving, concierge service. So they see these things happening, see those improvements going on. And now the units that are coming available for rent are able to be at a higher price point of rent because you've got a better quality of exterior and a better quality interior coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And again, it's not just about driving rents. It's about providing a better quality place to live and a better environment. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, well, what about the people that you got rid of? Well, those people were, somewhat not the best quality for improving the overall lifestyle of everybody there. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you've got 88 doors there. So that's 88 families, or 84 in this one, rather. I'm sorry. And so we want to provide a place that benefits all 84. And so in that process, it may be some people that are there are not not ideal. And so it's like, they're either going to conform to the new implementations that we're doing and then grow, or they will then move out or be moved out. And then that opens the way for a better quality community as a whole. And so that's ultimately, and again, it goes back to what we first started off with. It's about making a positive impact twofold. One, giving to help those residents have a better life. And then two, the investors that partner with us being able to get a greater return than what they could otherwise get on their own. Yeah. And so, I think it comes back full circle, like we said in that beginning part about being willing to give.
Mm-hmm.
And well, so...
Man, that's an awesome way to just kind of end the show. I think it all comes back full circle. Just curious for the people that, do you mind sharing, just last question for you here, do you mind sharing kind of what this thing, when you expect to get it fully stabilized and then what you anticipate it might cash flow?
Yeah. So, it's already, at this point, fully stabilized back again with the, and we really didn't dip down below probably 85% occupancy, but now we're at, probably just a hair under 97. And so stabilized, cash flowing well. And then realistically for us, we probably see about $3,000 to $3,500 a month net to us, apart from our investors being paid as well. And we will keep this property and then either, down the road, refinance it and pay out the investor return, or then sell the project. And then in selling the project, we're looking at probably a somewhere of about 750 type deal,
Amazing. That's awesome.
So, does it happen overnight? No. Is it something that's worthwhile? Clearly. For me, it fits with who I am. Cause again, like I was a business guy, my degrees in economics and finance. I'd been a stockbroker and a money manager, owned my own practice for 15 years. And for me, business I enjoy that. You know what I mean? And so we've turned the rehab single family and wholesaling into a business versus just a money thing.
Yeah.
And then this multifamily is really now taking it to another level with, you know, private equity, using my gifts and talents from the Wall Street side of things and the real estate side of things. So for me, it's like the perfect nirvana, if you will, of these things coming together because it uses all my talents.
Yeah. Yeah. And that speaks to what we were talking about, you know, 20, 30 minutes ago about, you know, what are you good at? You know, what do you want? Why do you want it? And then, you know, tap into that and just go. So, dude, this has been awesome, man. I've absolutely loved having you on, just kind of hearing your wisdom, your perspective, your experience and all that. Where can people connect with you, Randy? Just, you know, find out more about what you have going on. I mentioned earlier, you have the Real Estate Preacher podcast,
yep,
which we'll definitely include a link in the show notes so you guys can subscribe, check out Randy's podcast. What's your site, Randy, or where can people just connect?
So you can check out the podcast or also go to our website, which is www.prosperitycapitalpartners.net. prosperitycapitalpartners.net, and connect with us through the website, man. So I definitely look forward to it. And, you know, this has been awesome, brother. And again, you're crushing it, dude. You're doing awesome, man. I just continue to appreciate your journey and just your give, man. It's huge, dude. I mean, especially all that you're doing through the, you know, podcast community and all that you're doing in the real estate business, man. And so definitely too, I look forward for us, you know, talking further on the conversations and how we can, you know, work together in what we're doing and, you know, just what you're looking at doing and even in the multifamily space too, brother.
Thank you, man. That means a lot coming from you. So I really appreciate it. And guys, thank you for tuning in. You know, just take one thing Randy shared, mentioned here and move it forward. It could be as simple as just, you know, sitting down, carving out some time, thinking about what you want, why you want it, creating a plan, creating a vision, and then go, you know, and surround yourself with the right people because there are going to be challenges. But you know, you need to get through and you need to break through those challenges. So thank you for tuning in, for taking the time. Randy, thanks again for your time. Awesome. I know we'll be in contact and we'll catch you guys on the next show.
Thanks, brother.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.